Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, February 13th, 2012. Holy shit, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. Yes, it is, folks. It's Valentine's Day, that completely made-up horseshit holiday that you don't have to participate in. That goes down tomorrow. Did you make reservations, everybody? Huh? You're going to go out to the little fancy steakhouse, celebrate your relationship while you pay for 100% of it? Is that what you're going to do? It's the big bullshit holiday. It starts tomorrow. You know what I did? Last night, I took my lady. I took her out to dinner. We decided that we're going to celebrate it last night. And I got to tell you, it was fucking awesome. I can't remember a Valentine's Day that I enjoyed more than this one. It was great. We went into this fucking awesome sushi restaurant, which is normally packed anyways, just for the fuck of it. Forget about on Valentine's Day. But because it was 2 days before Valentine's, everybody wants to come in on Tuesday. We go in there last night. There's nobody fucking there. There's nobody there. All right? That's how you celebrate holidays, other than Christmas. Okay, because Christmas, the difference between Christmas and Thanksgiving is you actually get those days off. So who gives a fuck, right? The thing about all these other bullshit ones is you don't have, just, it's a suggestion. We think it should be the 14th. Really? I think it should be the 12th when food costs what the fuck it should cost and I can actually get a goddamn table. All right? And I can focus on the girl I love rather than looking around the room and being distracted at all these other women and how they're dressed up, you know? Oh, look at the way she has her tits hanging out, you know? Ooh, look at all this stuff they got. Oh, did he get a fucking goddamn bouquet of fucking flowers like they drape around a horse? And now he's putting it around his fucking woman. Does he understand that he just made her look like a fucking horse? I don't want to deal with all of it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't. So, when's the next big holiday that's coming up, people? It's fucking St. Patty's Day. All right? One of the most racist fucking holidays there ever was. But you don't hear Jesse Jackson bitching about that one. But he walking around with green plastic fucking hats. Getting drunk, puking up their fucking corned beef sandwiches in celebration of Irish heritage? Is there any other fucking holiday like that? Where are the Native Americans? They're all pissed off at fucking Braves fans and Redskins fans. Sit there focusing all on that as they sit on the streets in New York playing that sad, the white man took our music, took our land music, I'm sorry. You ever hear those people when they get out there with those fucking centaur flutes that they play? It is the saddest, most depressing, you know, everything was great until you came here, evil white man, music I've ever heard in my life. You know? I ain't what the fuck, but where the fuck is their outrage about St. Patrick's Day? The green alligators and everybody just sitting there. I'm trying to think if there is another holiday out there. You know, okay, Black History Month. For the whole fucking month, do white people go around and fucking have their pants hanging off their ass and do a bunch of stereotypical African-American shit that would be really fucking offensive? No. We don't. Why the fuck on St. Patrick's Day? Oh, it's St. Patrick's Day. Let's everybody dress in the colors of the Irish flag and act like a bunch of drunk fucking idiots. Oh, I'm on my soapbox this morning. All right, what are we going to talk about this week? Did you guys watch the Grammys last night? You know, I watched a little bit of that shit. Bruce Springsteen came out once again and sang that song that sounded like all his other songs, like every other song. And I'm driving down that fucking highway, and even though I'm a loser, I'm still gonna make it cause I got my girl and $5 for gas. Eating slices and throwing rocks at dirty fucking seagulls. You know, I got it. Jesus Christ. Unbelievable that he made people care that much about New Jersey. Is right there, it just shows you the level of the caliber of artist that he is, that he could really make people care that much. Who else? I saw Bruno Mars. I think that guy's the shit. Oh my God, you like him? What are you, a fag? Fuck you. I can give it up for somebody, you know? Going out there in his Elvis gold lamaze, 50,000 Elvis fans can't be wrong. It was great. I thought he put on a hell of a fucking show. I actually watched it and I was like, you know what? If he did that for an hour, I would pay to go see him. I thought he had a great show. And everybody was all sad about Whitney Houston, right? Whitney Houston passed away. It's fucking brutal, man. Everybody dying. You know, and I was really sad that she died until that fucking girl came out from the fucking I'm Not Fat Anymore commercials. And she sang that song that made me want to kill myself. I like Whitney Houston. God rest her soul. But I didn't ever need to hear that fucking ooh. How many fucking, I got it, you can sing. How about letting the fucking, you know, showbiz, rule number one, leave them wanting more. Don't keep singing to where they're like, all right. Although she wasn't the worst at that. Like some of those fucking divas where they just go out there, those wailing whores where they just fucking hit every goddamn note. At least they stopped doing that stupid point thing where they were pointing where I'm going down and I'm going up. Yeah, we can hear you. We know what you're doing. Do you do that when you ride a roller coaster? Fucking pointing at everything, you fucking moron. Christina Aguilera is one of the worst. Just like, you know, she never sang a song. She sang a song like she was auditioning for a band. Just sing the fucking song. All right, and get the goddamn mud off your ass cheeks. That's not sexy. You want to get dirty? No, I want you to take a fucking shower. Why don't you go up there, wash off that clam, and sing and sing the goddamn song the way it's supposed to go. All right? And Chris Brown made me feel old. I was just sitting there like, you know, that isn't music. You call that dancing? Is that really dancing? Is that what he was doing? You know, he looked like someone who, like, who got healed, you know, was like a paraplegic and somebody just touched his forehead and now he was trying out his legs for the first time in, like, 20 years. You know? That awful fucking auto-tune shit where you're just so obviously, you know, lip-syncing. And I was rooting for that guy. I was excited he won a Grammy, you know? When was the last time somebody slapped the shit out of a woman, everybody knew about it, and within 3-4 years... you won the little shiny thing. That doesn't happen often. I'm trying to think. Who's the last guy? I don't know. That was kind of a first. But I don't know. I didn't like that music, and I didn't appreciate that dancing. And I was annoying the shit out of Nia as I was watching it. You know, just being the crabby old man. Ah, that's terrible. Pull up your pants. Did I watch any further after that? I think that was it. I think I could only watch so much of an award show. I thought the Civil Wars or whatever, when they came out, I thought that they were going to bomb. And they fucking killed it. You know, so I'd like to download some of their music. I listened to some of it, like, you know, a little 1-minute clip. But it sounded like all that real folky kind of shit that I don't like. But the song that they sang was badass, and I thought the guy on the guitar was killing it. I don't know. What'd you guys think about the Beach Boy melody? I thought that melody, whatever the fuck you call it, medley, I thought they did a great job. Somebody was trashing that guy in Maroon 5, saying that what he did was, the fuck did they say? They said it was awkward at best and, what did they say, cringeworthy at worst. There was nothing cringeworthy about it. They were doing a tribute to the fucking Beach Boys. What about when that guy came out, the one guy in the Beach Boys who has the I'm bald now baseball hat on, and he just kept pointing to people in the crowd? I found him to be a little weird. And I don't know. I think Brian Wilson, I know I've said this before on the podcast, I think he went crazy just listening to his own music. That shit would just, you know, it's like these amazing harmonies, yet you feel yourself going insane when you listen to them. La 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 la. All right. I'm picking up good vibration. Ooh, bop, bop. Shut the it's, you know what you feel like? You feel like you're on this never-ending bus ride to camp when you're 14 and you don't want to go, yet you're in your 40s listening to it. I've never understood, I never got the Beach Boys. I don't get it. All right? They got a couple of songs. That it's just like, if you listen to it, it's this really happy, poppy shit, and then it's this really dark fucking lyrics underneath it, and you combine the two of them, and I'm telling you, you're going to go out of your fucking mind. You know? You know something? Watching the Beach Boys really just makes me realize that I have to have some sort of I need to retire date. You know? I know that's a fucking mean thing to say, but there's just something. Now, maybe that's me being shallow as a person. Like, the same reason why I never go to high school reunions. You know, I should have gone when I was younger. That's when I should have gone. But I'm too old now. I didn't go when I was younger because I was a fucking loser. You know, people were married. They had kids. What do you do? I tell jokes that I sleep on a futon. How many points is that worth? You're a comedian? Where do you do it? Strip malls across the country. Yeah. Yeah. 33. I'm actually older than you. Yes, I stayed back in the first grade. Right out of the chute, just didn't get it. Now I'm too old. I'm afraid to go to a high school reunion because I don't want to go there and meet people who are divorced and they have problems with their gallbladder. I want to remember all my classmates the way I remembered them, young with their whole life ahead of them. Okay? I don't want to go there and talk to somebody who used to make me laugh my ass off and now they're fucking sad because they have child support payments. I don't want to see that. I want everybody to succeed. I want to remember them the way, you know. When I do shows, people come out to my shows that I went to high school with, and I get to meet them like that. It's been fucking great. You know, I ran into a really good friend of mine when I was in Houston. I haven't seen this dude since fucking eighth grade. This kid was so fucking funny. The eighth grade went by in like a week and a half, it felt like. And I ran into him. It was great. He was doing great. He married the right person. He was happy as fucking hell. And we just sat there telling stories, laughing, going, can you believe fucking 30 years has gone by since eighth grade and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's the type of shit. So anyways, getting back to that other shit. The day I'm on stage wearing my I'm going bald fucking baseball hat and I'm pointing to people after my jokes and they're doing a tribute to my jokes. Somebody please shoot a fucking dart into my neck and just go, Bill, just, you know, you got to do something else at this point. Why don't you teach a comedy class? Why don't you do that? I'm really setting myself up for failure here because I don't think I ever can retire from this shit. I like it too much. You know? I don't know. You got to be excited, though, if you're in Van Halen and you saw the Beach Boys, you know? You got to be excited. Like, you just, when you get to a certain age, you got to be like, good, there's somebody still 20 years older than me. You know? Like, if I was in Van Halen, I would show that clip of the Beach Boys before I came out just to, you know, spot yourself another 10 years of youth. That's what I'm saying. Although I've heard their new album is fucking, I almost said terrific for the first time. I heard it's terrific. If you heard that new Van Halen, Jesus, it's terrific. So anyways, people, believe it or not, ProFlowers is still advertising on my podcast. Thanks for keeping your fucking mouth shut. It is one day. It is one day before, where the hell's the goddamn copy? It is one day before Valentine's Day, everybody. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. So if you've not scheduled flowers to be delivered, then Pro Flowers is going to save your ass. And they really are at this point. You know, are you like me? Did you not get a card until it looked like, you know, like when you wait too long to get a card and you show up at CVS and it looks like
there was a ticker tape parade there like 7 weeks ago and nobody ever swept up, you know? And you're like, oh, God, what is left? Hey there, sugar tits. I kind of love you. You know, like those cards are left. Hey, you know, I'm not really feeling this, but you are a hell of a bang. Happy Valentine's Day. Those are like the two cards that are left, you know? Or they just have one that's just so fucking over the top, you know? You're the light in my eye. Every time I inhale, I smell you, your aura. Oh, God, really? You know, and then they have like some fucking picture of two people about ready to kiss, like just silhouettes, and it just makes your, gives you that queasy feeling in your stomach, you know? You know that feeling you had when you were a little kid? Like the first time you thought about fucking one of your teachers, and then you walked into school and you saw him, you were like, what the fuck was I thinking? You know, it was too new. It didn't fucking make sense. Anyways, let's get on with the pro flowers read here. Valentine's Day is tomorrow, everybody. And if you still haven't scheduled your flowers to be delivered, then Pro Flowers is going to save you. They got your back. You can still order and have flowers delivered tomorrow, February 14th. All right? She'll think you ordered these far in advance. It will be our little secret. I like how Pro Flowers is acting like your little dirtbag friend. Don't worry, dude. I ain't saying anything. They're doing you a solid here. All right? You order Pro Flowers now. You got to do it now, people. All right? Who's kidding who? All right? It's the 13th. Okay? You're out of time. So this is the deal. You go to proflowers.com. You click on the mic in the top right-hand corner and enter the code B-U-R-R, all capitals, for this amazing last-minute deal. You're going to get one dozen long-stem roses plus a free glass vase. You get chocolates and a teddy bear. Don't eat the chocolates. You get them from ProFlowers for just $39.99, or you can upgrade. If you really like this lady, you get two dozen long-stem roses with an elegant cherry red vase. You hear what just happened? The other one was just a free glass vase. They probably got an empty beer bottle or something they stick them in. So I would go with the I would upgrade for the extra $10, $9.99. You get chocolates, a spa kit, and teddy bear, right? A spa kit. Ladies love to be pampered. I need a spa day. You know what my spa day would be, lady? For you to walk out of the house for a good 4 hours. Don't be mean. I'm not being mean. I'm being honest. It hurts sometime. All right? So there you go, people. Come on. Pro Flowers is cool as hell that they rolled with what I did last week. And you guys actually ordered a bunch of flowers off of that because you're such psychos. All right? So do me a solid. Do them a solid. Do your relationship a solid. Go to proflowers.com. All right? Click on the microphone top right-hand corner. Type in B-U-R-R and get the little flower bonanza thing that you need. You know, that's a really good thing to do, actually, to just get that out of the way, you know, to just take her anger down a little bit. Here you go. His flowers, teddy bear, and a chocolate. All right. Can she really be yelling at you holding those three little props? That's when you know you screw up, you know. When your girlfriend's holding a teddy bear that you just bought and she's still calling you a piece of shit and telling you to get a goddamn job, that's when you know your life is fucked up. Okay? So use this Pro Flower shit as a barometer. If you can get her those three things. What is it about women and stuff and getting shit? Is it because they got to give it up in the bedroom that then, you know, to balance it out, they have to get some sort of like tangible objects? You know, from day one. Have I ever said this before? I know. Even when you have a one-night stand, they try to get a T-shirt out of it. They fucking love stuff. You know, I hate stuff. What's the deal with stuff? I don't like it. Like, we need a dresser in the bedroom. And I've been putting it off. I just don't want to have another fucking thing that I'm going to have to move someday. Okay, everything's fine. We have closets. It's not like there's clothes pouring out of it. And if there are, get rid of some clothes, you hoarder. You whore-der, you know? Nia's sitting there going, and I go, fine. I actually give in. We'll get a dresser drawer. And she's like, well, just one?
Can we get one for you and one for me? No. No, we can't. What the fuck am I going to do that? Because then you're going to fill it up or feel like you need to fill it up. I'm such a douche. I should, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get one. Is it chest of drawers, dresser drawer, fucking whatever, ottoman, whatever the fuck you call the damn thing. I'm going to get one of those, and I'm just going to give it to her. All right? There you go. Put all your little foofy things in there, your little dollhouse stuff. I know. You're into that shit. There you go. All right? There you go. I'll keep all my shit in my closet.
Well, I don't want to feel like I'm taking the whole... Just fucking take the thing.
God, you're being so mean. I don't understand why you got to be so mean. I don't understand why we got to go to IKEA every three fucking days. Huh? Can you explain that?
Fine, fine. I'm just trying to make the house look nice.
You know, I had this fucking hilarious conversation with Paul Verzi the other day. You know, I got to tell this fucking... You wouldn't believe this shit, right? I just got done with my redneck tour through the South. All right? Started off in Charlotte, North Carolina. Fucking place was packed on a Tuesday night. I'm definitely coming back. Then I went over to Hoover, Alabama. Right by Talladega. You get on that 20, you go west from Atlanta, you go by Talladega. And I had a great time there. I actually took some video of Talladega. I finally gave in and I got the iPhone. Can anybody tell me how you fucking zoom in on that thing? Because I was trying to take footage of Talladega, and all my footage is there's Talladega. How the fuck do you zoom in on this thing? That's all it is. I'm going to try to get that shit to my web guy. And have that put up this week. And then I did Atlanta. Then I did Atlanta. And I actually hung out in this bar with a couple of friends of mine. Had a great time. Had a couple of beers. And the dude who owned... It was a dive bar. It was right around the corner from the Buckhead Theater. I forget the name of the place. It's a little pool hall. Went in there. Had a couple of drinks. And the guy who owned the place had the sickest fucking tattoo I think I've ever seen. He had on his upper arm, all right, where you got the classic mom tattoo, you know, he had a fucking portrait of Bill Murray on his arm, his upper arm. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. I'm telling you, dude, it was a fucking work of art. It was incredible how much this thing look like Bill Murray. It was the antithesis of that UFC fighter who has that awful Johnny Cash that looks like Johnny Cash on some sort of medication for some thyroid disease with the head's all bloated and stretched out. This was the exact opposite. And I guess he's going to get Hunter S. Thompson on his arm. And I'm telling you, if it's all going to be of the quality of this, I took a picture of it. It's fucking unbelievable. So here's the deal. Here's the fight I end up getting into with Nia, right? We're fucking, you know, I just did the redneck tour. I was in Charlotte, I was in Hoover, and then I was in Atlanta, all right? Started medium, got in real deep, and then I came out a little mainstream in fucking Atlanta, right? And I get off the plane, and one of the first things out of her mouth, by the way, I missed my flight, first flight I've missed since the late 90s, I overslept, and I couldn't get on another flight till like, you know, my flight was 8:15 in the morning. I couldn't get on until the 9:45 at night, and I actually got to the airport at like 2 o'clock because, like, what am I going to do? Just keep driving around Atlanta? We drop off the rent a car so I don't have to pay for another day, and then I spent 7 hours in the fucking airport. I had two meals at an airport. Like, I started off, I showed up. They had this soul food thing, right? And I'm not a big soul food fan. I like the mac and cheese. Collard greens are the saltiest, most disgusting things I've ever tasted in my life. And I got to tell you something, African Americans, for all the shit talk you talk about barbecuing, you tell me a good place to get some. Because the shit, granted, I'm at an airport, but I'm not seeing it. It tastes like everybody else's barbecue. It tastes like you finished it 20 minutes ago.
It's a poor cut of meat. You know, that's what barbecue is. It's a poor cut of meat that you have to slather all this other flavor onto to disguise the fact that I'm eating a cow ankle. All right? I don't give a fuck. But I do like mac and cheese. So I got a plate of mac and cheese. That's the first thing I had. And what the fuck else did I have? At one point, I had a hot dog. I had a cookie that wasn't even good. It was the size of my fucking head, and it wasn't even good. Is there anything worse than that when you fucking get a cookie, right? Just to say that, you sound like a fucking douche. Can I get a cookie, right? And you bite into it, and it's one of those cookies that isn't good. You know, you kind of poked at it through the package. You're like, oh, it's still soft. Oh, good. They put that chemical in there that prevented it from getting hard when it hits, you know, the oxygen. Like there's not oxygen in the stove. You know what I mean? And then you go to bite into it, and it tastes like shit. But do you ever throw it out? No, you can't because you got that little bit of sugar in you. You're already hitting the smack, and you fucking eat it. You're just sitting there eating an hour of sit-ups for no fucking reason. You're not even enjoying it. So I did that for like 7 hours. Then I finally get on the fucking plane. And, oh, you wouldn't believe this shit. I get on the goddamn plane. It's one of the funniest things. I get on the plane, and I'm looking at all the people sitting in first class. And some woman got on, and she had a toddler with her sitting in first class. And the kid was already acting up. And I saw one of those selfish, I'm never getting married, not having kids ever people. I caught him right in the moment that he was discovering that despite the fact he was in first class, he was still going to have a miserable experience. And if you saw the look of, you got to be shitting me, that look on his face, I bursted out laughing. And he caught me looking right at him. And he knew that I knew why he had that disgusted look on his face. But anyways, I'm telling this story like a fucking woman here, where I keep doing these offshoot stories. So wait, this is why we had the big fight, all right? I just came from Charlotte, Hoover, Alabama, and Atlanta, Georgia. North Carolina, Alabama, Georgia. Get off the plane. After being delayed for 12 hours, one of the first things that comes out of her mouth is she's like, you know, my mom was saying that we should just take a short vacation. Go to, like, New Orleans or Memphis, you know? And I was like, I don't want to do that. And then immediately, I just saw her energy change. And there's just something about the side of her face when she's fucking mad at me. And I was sitting there going, like, you know, is there something wrong or whatever? And she's like, no, it's fine. Yeah, fine. I mean, you just keep going, but blah, 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 and they go, start doing that fucking shit. And then I'm in my head like, you know what? Fuck you. And I kept telling her she was mad, and she wouldn't fucking own up to it. Then we get home, all right? I had bought the wrong light bulbs for the kitchen a few weeks ago. We have these awful fucking fluorescent light bulbs. You walk in the kitchen, you feel like you're standing in a fish tank that's been emptied, all right? Did she go out and buy the light bulbs? Fuck no. That's too difficult. I didn't get around to it. You know? I can tell she's pissed. So she finally owns up to the fact that she's like, you know, you didn't have to bite my head off when I brought up going to Memphis or fucking New Orleans. And I was like, I didn't bite your head off. I didn't. I just said I didn't want to go. She goes, I didn't ask you to go. I just said my mom said we should go. Well, that's saying you want to go. You know, how about a little empathy? I just came from Charlotte, Alabama, and fucking Atlanta, Georgia. Do I want to go to Memphis? No. Do you fucking come up to somebody after they just had a Thanksgiving dinner and they're all stuffed and go, hey, would you like a turkey sandwich? No, we got into this huge fucking battle. And then I got, and she fucking left to go do God knows what, to go hang out with her friends, right? After giving me a speech about how we haven't seen enough of each other, she again goes, takes off to go hang out with the fucking friends, right? Classic female shit. So I call up Verzi and we just start venting. And I'm telling you, dude, like, there's that thing, yet another thing you have to avoid in a fucking relationship is, like, do you ever just feel like you're, like, you stop being the boyfriend or the husband and you're just sort of the, you're like this errand boy? Like every fucking time you go to walk out the door, they just add shit for you to go do. Hey, where you going? Oh, I'm going to go do this fun shit.
Oh, can you go by the post office? Can you pick up the dry cleaning? Can you go restore this lamp? You know, the dumbest thing you can fucking do is call your woman as you're driving home. Don't ever do that to yourself. And when they call, don't pick up. Then you walk in. I called you like 6 times. How come you didn't pick up? I was going to ask you to sweep the sidewalk and repaint the fucking gate before you came in.
No, we had this big fucking battle where I was like, you talk to me like I work for you. I don't fucking work for you. Okay? No, I'm not going to go pick up light bulbs. You can't fucking unscrew and screw in a light bulb. I forgot to do it. You didn't forget to do it. It's a pain in the ass and you didn't do it. And now you're having me do it. Why do I have to do all the pain in the ass shit? This is a great fucking conversation for the day before Valentine's Day. By the way, I'm on board for that steak and a blowjob day. All right? But it has to be done right. Okay? Which gets me to the overrated, underrated of this week. Somebody said, overrated, steak and a blowjob day. Men's Valentine's Day, because most chicks don't know how to cook a steak and half of them don't swallow. Jesus. All right? I can help you with the first half of that equation. If you have any sort of cooking talent whatsoever, ladies, just go on YouTube and you can find these YouTube videos that'll show you how to cook a steak perfectly. I thought I knew how to cook a steak. I didn't. There's all kinds of shit I didn't know. All right? You just fucking you get the grill nice and hot. You sear it. Right? On one side, move it just a little bit so you get the diamonds. You put it over the other side, same fucking thing. And then you take it off and you let it rest. You don't cut right into the motherfucker. You let it rest and let all the juices go back all the way through the meat. It's fucking one of the most, the easiest thing you can ever fucking do is cook a steak. It's not that hard. Okay? So for steak and a blowjob day, which I don't even know what the date is. I need the date, people. Tell me what it is because I'm going to be hyping that on this podcast. Is you got to make sure it goes down right. Okay? She's got to cook that steak right. Okay? With a couple little fixings on the side. With your favorite goddamn beer or whatever. And then afterwards, she gives you a nice fucking blowjob. And then you know what? That's it. It's fucking over. Okay? It's not like you start to blow me and then we have sex and then you get to have an orgasm too. All right? This is fucking my day! All right, it's your man's day. For once, don't let him get anything. Okay? For once, you get the t-shirt. For once, they pick up the light bulbs. For once, you sit there and you get fucking pampered. You don't have to do shit. What the fuck is she going to do for Valentine's Day? Huh? Get herself all dolled up and just sit there accepting the food and the gifts to celebrate your relationship? If it's truly your Valentine's Day, you should be treated the same. You just fucking lie there like they do in the rack. Ah, God, I'm really being an asshole right now. What's that? Would you like to hear another commercial? Why, here you go. Here's some more guy stuff that you can appreciate. Do you play video games? Sure, of course you do. What are you, fucking 8 years old, yet you're 40? That's the way to live life. The new advertiser for this week, everybody, is Gamefly. And actually, this is the thing about me. I love video games to the point I can't handle them. Okay? Because I lose my, like, video games are so good at this point. They're almost better than real life. Like I told you, I tapped out Grand Theft Auto 3. That was like 8 years ago. So I can only imagine what video games look like now. I used to just come home, you know, I learned all the cheats on Grand Theft Auto, and I would get all the weapons, and I would just go onto the top of a roof, and I would just start killing people. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Just blowing their fucking brains out was something that I totally loved. So, as I said, if you're a gamer... You got to go to Gamefly. Like if I was playing video games, this is the place where I would go. Because basically, you go check out their website on your own. It's pretty simple. This is something for me. This was actually a note from me. Check out their website on your own, but it's pretty simple. See, these advertisers already know I'm stupid, and you're driving people to the below link so you can get credit for the sales. Okay, there you go. I just read from the playbook. So here we go, people. I'm going to drive you to their website. Gamefly is basically, it's the video game rental system that delivers games to your door and now directly to your PC. And isn't that what every gamer wants? Don't you just want to sit there, finish it, and then have another one delivered to you? You know, like some fat guy getting like endless box of donuts. Let me try this one with jelly, right? Gamefly has over 8,000 video console games, including new titles such as Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3, Batman, I don't know what this is, Arkham City. Did Batman move? I thought he was in Gotham City. Look at this. They're just so far ahead. I don't even know what's going on. And the Elder Scrolls. What the hell is that? Is that one of those games where you build your own old folks home and try to keep as many old people alive as possible? Ah, Jesus Christ. I really should have gone to their website. Gamefly delivers right to your home. There are no late fees or shipping fees, and the cost saving is amazing, as a one-month subscription is a fraction of the cost of a newly released game in the stores. This is basically it. So if you play video games, why wouldn't you go to Gamefly? 8,000 videos. They deliver them to your door or straight to your PC. And you, with all of that access, that's cheaper than buying one video game. That's it. Game, set, match. Listeners of the Monday Morning Podcast will get a 15-day free trial of Game Day by going to www.gamefly.com/burr. You get 15 days for 8,000 videos. Use your sick time. Use your vacation time. Just play video games for 15 days for free. You don't have to buy anything. www.gamefly.com/burr. It's great for parents with kids that play games. Hey, parents, do you have kids that you're sick of watching? Stick them on in front of 8,000 video games. They'll sit there like zombies. It's great for the guy that likes to try out a bunch of different games but doesn't want to pay, or even that guy who just has to play the hottest games out there. Gamefly is your spot. Go to gamefly.com/burr for your 15-day free trial. Come on, people. Huh? You got to admit it. As much as there's advertising on this podcast, I'm hooking you up. I'm hooking you up with video games. I'm hooking you up with flowers. You know? You think I haven't turned down some advertisers? We had some people coming on here wanted to advertise fantasy football, and I told them to go fuck themselves because I hate that shit, and I've been making fun of it for the last 4 years. He's on my fantasy team. If I could have all my dreams come true, Dante Culpepper would let me sit on his lap. He's on my fantasy team. All right, let's get on with the podcast. This is the Monday Morning Podcast, everybody. And I do one of these every goddamn week. If you're new, I know we got some new listeners out there, and I do it every Monday. Why? To whore out what I'm doing in my little career here, and also to give you a little bit of a laugh. I know what you're saying. Well, Bill, by the time I listened to this, it wasn't Monday morning anymore. Really? Well, it's before 9 a.m. my time. All right? Jesus Christ, when your favorite artist writes some fucking album called September Winds and it comes out in January, you're like, this isn't September, it's fucking January. It's not about you. It's about me. All right? Hey, I got an email from Argentina. Do you guys have the internet down there? I didn't know that. That's fucking awesome. I'm breaking your balls. Isn't that where AC/DC shot their latest concert video and their fans were so insane that it made me feel embarrassed for the level of participation that I had at the LA Forum? I'm going to go out. I think AC/DC is bored when they tour the States. They have to be. If they get that kind of love in Argentina, why the hell would they want to go to our... It's got to be like going to the airport for them. From Argentina. Hey, Bill, love your podcast. I am growing listening to your comedy, motherfucker. I hope one day a young fell's the same for me, JJ. What the, this is definitely a secret language. You know, I notice Latino people when they write ha-ha, it's J-E-J-E, which I guess that makes – oh, I guess that's he-he because Jorge and Jesus start with a J. That's he-he. You know, I just figured that out. I finally had to talk it out. Did I figure it out for all my Latino listeners? Ahora. I am beginning in stand-up comedy here in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I feel I am a funny person and I am trying to find myself on stage. Me problem is that I give a fuck about what people might say. Yeah, well, that's everybody's problem when we start out. This is a natural progression here. I'm trying to don't give a fuck because I know it's not worth it. People suck, but for one fucking reason, I don't know, I sometimes get nervous in front of their judgmental faces. Bye, Bill. All right, let's give it up for this guy for being able to convey his thoughts in a second language, because I could never do that. I would be like, hello, the girl drinks milk, yellow. Adios. That's all I could say. Hola. El niño bebe leche. Amarillo. Adios. Fuck, I wish I could stick with that shit. Anyways, all right. What are we saying here? The fuck am I talking about? Oh, what did he ask me? I just totally lost it. That just made me think about how I should start. Ah, fuck it. I'm never going to be able to do it. I got to start cheating on Nia with some fucking Mexican girl who only speaks Mexican. And I know I just said Mexican speaks Mexican. I know it doesn't make sense, but I don't know what to say, what you guys speak. Because if you say you speak Spanish, like, we don't speak Spanish. People from Spain speak Spanish. Well, what the fuck do you speak? Anyways, let's plow ahead here. Yes, the thing you're going through, sir, is what every stand-up comedian goes through. And it's great that you're this new to stand up and you're actually asking these questions. Not giving a fuck on stage it's baby steps. All right? If every time you go on stage you have a goal when you're starting out, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this new bit. Doing, you know, walking around with the mic instead of having the mic in the mic stand makes me uncomfortable. Having the mic in the mic stand. I don't know what to do with my hands at that point. I'm going to face that fear. And you just, you know, just make little rules like that, little goals, and then it becomes second nature where you don't even have to make rules or goals. Goals is the word, not rules. And you will gradually progress and always be trying new material and always just keep pushing yourself and you all that shit will fall into place. You should give a fuck. You're new to stand-up. You don't quite know what you're doing yet. You got a ton to learn, and you realize that, which is good. That's a very humble way to be. There's nothing worse than the fucking supremely confident open micer. You know, they blow everybody else away on stage, but they peak early because they just feel like they're the fucking shit. And, that's not true, is it? Ah, who gives a fuck? Look, you're like me, all right? You're a little timid. You just keep working on it. You'll come out of it. And one day you'll be like me, standing on stage telling everybody to go fuck themselves, even if they don't deserve it. Follow-up from October. Where do eggs come from? Where do eggs come out of? Oh, yeah, I asked that. I asked, does it come out of their ass? Do they have a little chicken pussy? A little chicken vagina. Billy Boy, just listened to the podcast from October, and you sort of asked where eggs come out of a chicken. He says, I don't fuck chickens, but, well, okay, yeah, I do know where they come out of. I know for a fact that the egg comes out of the hole that poop also comes out of. It's called the vent. Bam. Educated. You're welcome. Ah, that's disgusting. Well, no wonder that egg has a shell on it, huh? So that's okay. I can still eat eggs and not worry that I'm eating egg shit, right? Because it's in that little mork capsule. It's called the vent. Why doesn't a chicken have a pussy? Is that because it's so small? Is that what it is? Is it like, you know, when you get a car and there's, you know, you get the compact so there's not enough room for the radio so they turn it sideways like in the Chevy Citation? Is that what it is? So they had to combine the asshole and the birth canal all at the same time? So every chicken takes it in the ass? Is that what you're telling me? Where does the rooster jizz know where to go? I didn't get pregnant again. It went up the shitter rather than up the vent. Does a rooster have to bang a chicken at a certain angle to make sure it goes up the vent? That doesn't make any fucking sense. Is there a farmer out there that could show me a send me a diagram? It's got a split at some point, doesn't it? There can't be some egg growing in your ass and you're also trying to take a chicken dump. You'd be constantly constipated. You know, and when chickens lay eggs, it's not like there's a bunch of shit all over it. See, sir, this is the great thing about life is you answer a question and it just introduces all these others. Now I realize, you know, it's like that little thing. Like with each book I read, I realize there's so much less that I know. See that? So now I have 100 more questions. And you know what? You decided to reopen this Pandora's box. Now, I need some follow-up. I got any farmers out there? Huh? Anybody else can tell me? It's got to split off like one of those T-splits, like when you and a friend listen to the same iPod. Eggs in one, shit in the other. That's like a game show. It's time to play put your face under the chicken vent. What do you think it's going to be? Roll the dice. Is it going to be an egg or is it going to be some chicken shit? That's disgusting, Bill. Well, go fuck yourself. I had to work with what I had there. All right, advice. Hey, Bill, huge fan. I figured if there's anyone I should ask for advice, it definitely should be possibly insane guy that rants into his weekly podcast. I'm not insane. I'm a little nuts. Nia keeps me sane. I pay all my bills. I got a Prius. You know, go fuck yourself. So here's a story. When I was in high school, I met a girl online. Do you guys think I'm only qualified to answer shit about relationships? Why don't you say, hey, Bill, I'm thinking about buying this or buying that. What do you think I should do? For the love of God, I can't answer any more of these pussy questions. I think I'm out of advice. But I'm a trooper. I'm going to continue here. When I was in high school and I met a girl online. Yes, this sounds weird, but I was a senior, her a junior, and the fact that we came across each other was absolutely random. Were you watching chicken vent videos? I didn't know you liked those too. Anyways, we exchanged a few messages, then text messages, then phone calls. That's right, dude, you're drawing her into your world. That's how you do it. And 2 weeks later, I was in my car driving the 1,000 miles to see her. Wait a minute. We exchanged a few messages, then text messages, then phone calls. All right, were you at least sexting? Were you at least doing that? Ensuring the fact that you can never run for president again without having those embarrassing texts show up from that mother computer and somewhere in Texas? You drove in a car 1,000 miles. All right, let's do the math here. Let's say you can go 70 miles an hour. That's 10, 11, 12, 13 to 14 hours. And that's if you actually stop and get something to eat. You're talking about a 15-hour fucking drive. I've done a 16-hour drive one time. I drove from L.A. to just beyond Denver one day. With a TV in the passenger seat. It's a long story. I had girlfriends before. We're back to the letter here. I had girlfriends before, but something about her was different. I spent the weekend in her city, spent as much time with her as possible, and 2 days later, I had to say goodbye and drive back home. Dude, how much did that cost in gas? Just get a Southwest flight. I told her I promised to come back, and I did. I drove back 2 weeks later. This should be like a car commercial. Then another few weeks later, and again, over the next 2 years or so, I drove to see her probably 20 to 30 times. This girl was incredible, and all I wanted was to be around her. Well, why didn't you just move there? After 2 years, and 9,000 oil chains later, after 2 years together, I was sick of having to say goodbye, so I packed up and moved to her city. Let me guess, and then it all falls apart, because this was all based on the romanticism of that you couldn't be next to each other. And now you're going to be next to each other, and she snores, or this is going to be something common about her, and you're going to get sick of her. That's my prediction. Anyways, I enrolled in school, got a job, and was able to see her every day. I think it's safe to say that not many people would do this at the age of 19, or at least go through it, but I did. I was certain I was going to marry this girl. After 2 years together, I still wanted nobody but her. All right, so far, dude, you've done nothing wrong. Even if she fucks you over in this, she still did nothing wrong. Dude, you went after love. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what you should be doing. After living there for about 10 months, finances started catching up. I was unable to find a roommate. Bills were getting higher, and my job was entry-level paying $8 an hour. On top of that, I had school full-time as well. I had no choice but to move back home and save money. This was devastating. I had been back home for about 5 months. I haven't seen her since I moved. I'm getting ready to move back in a few weeks, but here's where things get complicated. She lives on campus at her college. A month ago, she confessed that she had sex. We had been together, but frustrated because of the distance and on a break. We considered ourselves to still in a relationship, talked every day, but we're just taking things slow. She confessed to having sex with 3 different guys over the last month. She hid it from me. Yeah, I know. Oh, geez. It gets more complicated. Oh, dude, my fucking heart's getting ripped out here. I thought for once this was going to work out. I thought for once the thing was going to be, I got to ask you, when I get the tuxedo for my wedding, do I go tails, no tails? I'm about 5'11". That's the middle ground. I don't want to look like a penguin, but I think I'm tall enough. It gets more complicated. There was always one issue with our relationship. She was a virgin when we met. I was not. This bothered her and was a frequent issue for the entire relationship. And I can understand why. She tells me now that even after what's happened, she doesn't know if she can be with me because she can't get over the fact that I had sex before meeting her. I see this as hypocritical considering she basically cheated on me with 3 guys. I told her that I'm willing to forgive and I would actually like to seek a counselor together, anything that can help because this is how important she is to me. I would like your advice on what you think I should do. I know this story is complicated, but I still feel that I should be with her and forgive her. I know I sound like a dumbass kid who doesn't know. You're not a dumbass kid. You're 19. You're supposed to be dumbass. All right. This girl's playing you like a goddamn Stradivarius here, okay? And she's not really. You're both young, okay? She doesn't want to be that girl who married the first guy she met. She needs to play the field. That's where she is in her life right now. She's not going to be happy with you because she needs to go out and date a couple of assholes to realize, you know, it's like if nothing bad ever happens to you in your life, you don't know what a good day is, you know? You can't appreciate it. It's like those fucking punk-ass kids who have rich parents and they have courtside seats. You ever see them? They're sitting there fucking, they're on their little cell phones texting away. They're bored, you know? If I was 8 years old and I got to sit courtside at a Celtics game, my eyes would have fell out of my head and rolled across the fucking floor. I wouldn't be able to conceive of it because we were always sitting up in the rafters, right? So this is the same thing with her. She doesn't realize what a great guy she is. So let her go, dude. Go ahead. Go bang those other fucking guys. And dude, you're only 19. Why don't, you know, that's, you ever see the fucking Bronx Tale? You got 3 great women in your life. That was your first one. You got another 2 in the fucking chute. All right. And maybe they won't live 1,000 miles away. Okay. And need to go jump on 12 other dicks to understand what a great guy you are. All right. I just read, thanks, Bill, go easy on me. All right, I am going easy on you. I'm giving you some fucking tough love here, okay? This ain't the time, dude. You're going to move all your shit out there, and there's going to be that itch that she hasn't scratched yet. She needs to fucking... It's not even she's going to go out and bang a bunch of other guys. She has to figure herself out first. Who she is, what the fuck she wants, what she wants to major in. You're too young. You're too young. All right? Come on, dude. All right, you're a romantic, you got a big heart, you drove fucking 50,000 miles, and the girl ended up breaking your heart. I mean, it's inevitable. There's 1,000 miles of distance, and you're young. All right, so what I always do, why don't you focus on yourself? All right? And like I said, this is going to suck, and just tell her, look, I think that you need some time to live your life, and when you're ready to come back to me, you call me. Put the ball in her court, all right? Let that bitch come to you. All right? You've been coming to her for, to the tune of fucking 30,000, 40,000 fucking miles. I think you've come her way enough. All right? I don't see her fucking moving down the way you're at. You keep going to where she's at, dude. You're setting yourself up to be a fucking slave. Look at, I set my relationship up good, and I still ended up being fucking errand boy this past week, and I had to put my foot down. Okay? You know how much of a piece of shit Nia would be treating me if I drove 1,000 fucking miles and forgived her for banging 3 other guys? Don't set yourself up for that, all right? You deserve better, all right? You're a good guy. Fuck that shit, all right? I think it's time that you thought about yourself and your fucking vehicle. Let her come to you, all right? This is what you tell her. Just say, listen, I understand it. You got to live your life, all right? When you're done living your life and you want to come see me, you know where I live. I think it's about time you came and you paid me a visit, all right? Maybe that's a little too harsh. Say something like that, but not with the asshole tone that I have, all right? All right, here we go. Number 2. Bill, I'd appreciate some advice on something. I've been with my girl since I was 15 and now I'm 22. Guys, I can't do these fucking relationship things anymore. I'm sick of them. This is the last one I'm doing, okay? At least let's fucking try and switch them up here. Bill, I'm thinking about getting solar panels. What do you think? I'm now 22. For the past 5 years, we've been long distance through university and now our first jobs. Yeah, dude, this relationship's over. Over the 5 years, the odds thing has happened, which has made me worry that I can't trust her. Not full on cheating, but a couple of times it came out that she was being dishonest. She once got drunk and played strip poker with some of her girlfriends. She told me there were no guys around. I found out later from one of her friends that there actually was. That's it, dude. That's it. The main chute didn't come out. Pull the fucking ripcord. You are going terminal velocity to fucking splatting dick first and then your heart right into the ground. Dude, you don't need advice. Okay? You just need to be nudged over. Dump this. Dump her. It's over. She's not a bitch. If she did this when she was 35, she's a bitch. She's not a bitch. She's doing what the fuck you do when you're that age. Okay? That's what you're supposed to be doing. Okay? Have we learned anything this week, people? Long-distance relationships do not work. They don't work. Okay? And, sir, are you going to be honest and tell me that you haven't fucked around? You didn't get a little drunk and accidentally, is that your titty? I'm sorry, right? You haven't done any of that? A little over a year ago, she was away on business and claims one of her workmates tried to kiss her. Dude, I don't need to read the rest of this, and I'm not torturing my fans by reading the same fucking thing. Okay? And he ends with, really sorry for the essay. I appreciate any wisdom you can impart. You already heard it on the first one, dude. It's over. It's over. You know what, dude? There's nothing. The only thing that's the only silver lining of when you're getting fucked over like this is when you break up with the person. All right? Just say, listen, I love you to death, but I can't trust you anymore. All right? And when you can't trust somebody, the relationship's over. I can't trust you. Okay, I don't hate you. I wish nothing but the best for you. But, you know, this isn't what I'm looking for in a relationship. Okay? Toodaloo. And that's how you end it. Okay? And I guarantee you, dude, you're guaranteed she won't be able to handle the level of maturity, and you'll probably get at least a blowjob and a half. She'll get halfway through the second one and be like, okay, what are we doing? I'm confused. I got to get out of here. So just take the first one. Okay, as your severance package. That's your gold watch out of this thing. No more long-distance relationships, people. All right? And why don't you guys give me a break? I can't talk about any more of this fucking relationship stuff. I would still like to give advice. I am not qualified to give advice. I just do this because it's fucking funny, and we're doing the same subject over and over again. Hey, Bill, I bought a Rubik's Cube in 1983, and I still can't solve it. You know? Give me some other springboard to fucking jump. I want to dive into a different comedic pool, everybody. Huh? You like that? That's from my syllabus of my stand-up comedy class. You think I'm not going to teach one someday? You think I'm not going to retire from the road and get myself a tweed sport coat with the elbow patches and come walking in and be all serious about comedy? Don't dance! Like fucking Michael Douglas in that fucking show with those whores with the glittery pants? I actually like that musical. One singular sensation, you know? I like watching those whores do that Fosse thing. There's something about it that, you know, that's the only musical my dick has ever given a fuck about. And for those of you out there writing musicals, okay, you want to write a fucking musical that's going to be a hit where you can get all kinds of extra money, is you got to make it, there's got to be something in there that a heterosexual guy is going to like. All right? If you can make me go there and I don't give a fuck that I'm watching a bunch of people sing and dance and there's no, I don't know, what the fuck do I need? There's no ball, nobody trying to stop somebody from scoring a goal, none of that shit. There's got to be, I'm not saying they got to whore it up, but there's got to be something there, you know? There's got to be something that makes my dick go, oh, what is this? You know, if you just do that every 10 minutes, ooh. I haven't been paying attention. I have no idea what the plot is, but I like what she's doing. You know, I could direct one of those. I would say the same thing to every dancer in it. Bend over at the waist. I don't care if it's a rake stage. You're not going to fall over, okay? Just get your fucking balance down. Huh? You like that? Rake stage? I've been around it. All right, overrated, underrated for this week. Rake stage means they tilt it down. They cheat it down towards the audience so they can actually, so the people in the front row can see it a little bit better. And, you know, I used to date a dancer. All right, overrated, underrated. Underrated, green tea. I'm not a doctor, and I certainly don't know how much about healing. I don't know much about healing of any type of viruses naturally, but after drinking 3 cups of green tea a day over the past 5 days, my head cold and heavy cough have pretty much dissipated. Dude, if you didn't do shit after 5 days, the common cold's going to go away. But if you think this is your little voodoo cup, have at it. He said, typical me. I don't read anything. I usually have slow recoveries when I get sick too. Usually a 2 to 3 week process every time I catch a cold. This stuff almost got rid of it. The last of it in 3 days. Really good stuff. Kind of therapeutic too. Well, if it works for you, keep doing it. But I would probably try to eat some fruits and vegetables. Get 8 hours sleep. You know, and listen to me, I'm not a doctor. Overrated, shampoo and conditioner. I just washed my hair with a Costco brand body wash, and not only is it softer than it's been in a while, it also smells good. That's tremendous. Do you know what, something? I actually love Costco. I had never been there before in my life. I love it. I love the Armageddon-sized. Did I talk about this already? You know, a good friend of mine told me a while ago, Aisha Tyler, look at me name dropping, little fancy Hollywood person. She does the Girl on Guy podcast. Once again, right there. You see the name of that? All of you out there were like, I don't need to listen to another podcast. What did she do? She makes your dick just a little bit interested. Girl on Guy podcast. Ooh, your dick's like, what's that? I think I will have a listen. If you could just take that formula and put it into a fucking a Broadway musical, more straight guys would go. If every once in a while you just threw that in there, that maybe you were going to see a live sex act. I'm such an idiot. Anyway, she told me that that's the place to buy booze. That's the place where you buy your booze. All right? And I'm going to tell you, goddammit, she was fucking right. I bought a redneck jug of fucking Jack Daniels for like $30. You know, you just looking at it. Like, if I drank all of that in a bar, that would cost me probably about $2,000. Do you like how I'm talking about Costco like it's this brand new store that only exists a mile from my house? Yeah, Bill, what are you going to tell us that next? The wonders of shopping at Walmart? Ah, go fuck yourselves. All right, that's the podcast for this week. I have things to do, people. I don't have time to sit here in my jam jams for the rest of the day in my fucking Red Sox bathrobe. Did I get to everything? Oh, stamps.com. Stamps.com. The last one, everybody. Stamps.com. I've been using this exclusively. I haven't been to the post office in 3 weeks, and I got to tell you, I don't miss them. You know, they're like that girlfriend that I'm finally over. They're in my rearview mirror. Anytime I need stamps, I print them out right from my computer. Anytime I got to send out a package, they set me up with this little scale. I weigh the whole thing. I'm telling you, I'm going to buy one of those little visors. I got my own little post office right here at home in my pajamas. Once you get the supplies, you're all set. So basically, this is how it goes. Stamps.com. You can buy and print official U.S. postage with your own computer and printer. You can print stamps and shipping labels for any letter or package the instant you need it. Yeah, because they give you the scale. They give you the paper to print them out on. And then you just stick it out by your mailbox and they pick it up. You don't have to go to the post office ever again. All right? You know, and I'm not trying to act like a fancy guy, but I'm a busy dude. And one of the things I hate is having to go to the bank or go to the damn post office. Okay, I can't wait till they come out with bank.com where I can stick cash in because I'm not putting my bank account number on the internet. That's where I draw the line. But, you know, the stamps, I'm all over it. All right? They got a special offer, everybody. Right now, if you go to stamps.com, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R. No risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer. Includes a digital scale and $55 in free postage. You can either do that in stamps, or if you got somebody's birthday coming up and you want to go mail them a fucking wigwam or something, you can just slap it right on there. All right? I'm telling you. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R, at stamps.com. Enter B-U-R-R. I really appreciate you guys. You guys have actually been doing this stuff, and like the Amazon.com thing has really been blowing up. If you're new to my podcast, if you go to the billburr.com, click on the podcast page, and you click on the Amazon link, you know. And if, you know, just if you're going to buy something on Amazon.com, they give me a kickback, and 10% of that I send to the Wounded Warriors Project. And, you know, I got to wait 3 months to get the first check. But when I do, I got a nice check going towards the troops. So it's been an all good thing. So I really appreciate you guys participating in all this advertising and not breaking my balls about it, because look, the podcast is still free, right? We get it, Bill. Shut your face, hype your gigs for this week. This week, I am going to be in New Jersey, as I always am right after New York wins a championship. I'm always in New Jersey. Boston wins a championship. For some reason, my next gig is in fucking Utah. I don't know why it works out that way, but it always seems to. So this is the deal. This week, I am barnstorming through New Jersey, Long Island, and up into Connecticut. I'm at the Stress Factory for the Hurricane Makeup Date on the 15th. I think those shows are sold out. Check with Vinny Brand at the Stress Factory. And next, I'm at the Bergen Pack Theater in Englewood, New Jersey, February 16th. February 17th, I'm at the Fox Theater in Connecticut. We added a second show that is almost sold out. On the 18th, I'm at the theater at Westbury. I guess the Westbury Theater in Westbury, New York. All of those shows, if they're not sold out, they're about ready to be sold out. So please, for the love of God, go to billburr.com, click on shows, click on the link, get yourself some tickets. I need you guys to come out to these shows because I'm getting ready to tape my next stand-up special. So it really helps me when you guys show up. And please, just laugh at what you think's funny. Don't laugh if you don't think it's funny. Just that's all I ask of you, and we'll be all good. And the following week, 23rd, 24th, 25th, my triumphant return to the Comedy Works in Denver. Why is it triumphant? I don't know. I just felt like saying that. That's it. That's the podcast for this week. Go fuck yourselves. Oh, I didn't even talk about the fact that I am a bandwagon New York Knicks fan. I still can't root for them to win a championship because they're a New York team, but that Jeremy Lin kid, I watched that Lakers-Knicks game on the airplane, and I got to tell you, dude, flying back from Atlanta, that's the most exciting NBA game I've seen in a long time. And when he took that charge at the end of the game, I almost stood up and started cheering. And it just has to do with the fact that that kid was almost out of basketball. And also, he's playing that basketball that they played when I was a kid. You know, all you youngsters out there, you don't understand how much Michael Jordan affected the game. Actually, in a bad way. He was so good that he actually fucked the game up. Because before then, it really was a team sport. Like in the 80s when I was growing up and you were playing basketball, you know what we used to always do? We used to always, somebody always pretended they were DJ and then somebody was Larry Bird. You always try to do that backdoor pass that was good for fucking 6 points every goddamn, like once a game. Somehow, Bird always got free in the baseline and DJ did like the no-look backdoor fucking pass. That's what you wanted to do. You wanted to be, Magic Johnson giving the no-look pass to your buddy who's pretending to be Worthy. And he puts the ball up like he's going to dunk, but then he's white, so at the last second he's got to lay it in, and everybody laughed. Everybody had that playmaker point guard that got everybody involved. And that's what you wanted to be. And Jordan was so good, he defied every fucking rule, right down to the rules of gravity, where he was just, fuck my teammates. This is my supporting cast. I can win without a big man. I don't need to pass. And he could do it because he was that good. But then everybody saw that, and then they tried to do that. And who's kidding who? You're not fucking Jordan. You know? And everybody tried to be Jordan for like 10 fucking years. And that kid there on the Minnesota Timberwolves, if the NBA can come back to that again, I will start fucking watching, because there's nothing better than watching a point guard that gets everybody involved. And I love Kobe as far as what the fuck that guy does. But watching the Knicks go down the court and then watching Kobe's they go down in a cluster. There's Kobe by himself and then everybody else is all together. And if Kobe gives up the ball, the second he does, he's clapping and he wants the fucking thing back. And I don't give a shit if he's got three guys hanging on him and he's 10 feet behind the fucking arc and he's got two guys wide open now because he's being triple teamed. You got an 80% chance that he's going to fucking shoot the ball. But the son of a bitch hits it, so you can't be mad at it. But kids just see that shit, and that's how they try to play hoop. And I'm telling you, watching this kid fucking getting everybody involved, you had no idea what he's going to do. He'd come in. Is he going to split the defenders? He's going to kick it out to somebody for the open three. He goes in for the old school reverse layup. It was fucking insane. So I am a bandwagon Knicks fan right now, because I watch that kid every night if that's how he's going to fucking play. But I will root like hell that they don't win a fucking championship. The amount of poundings that I took this week doing morning radio in New Jersey for all my Jersey gigs. Oh, my God, I took trashings. I got pounded by some state. I just got pounded. There's nothing I could say. I went down swinging, but I got pounded. And it's fucking hilarious. Last year, they were all Jets fans. They all had on their Sanchez jerseys. And this year, everybody's a Giant fan. It's unbelievable. It's almost like they switch loyalty. Ah, Bill, you went so long without being a cunt. All right, that's it. God bless you. Go fuck yourself. I'll talk to you later.